there's no cause for alarm. The sometimes large numbers of semi-transparent jellyfish that may be found covering the sand at some popular North Coast beaches are a natural and normal phenomenon, says Carl Menard, Aquatic Resources Manager for the UC Davis Bodega Bay Marine Lab.
It's not unusual. Most seasons we see some jellies wash up on the beach. Some years we'll see large numbers, especially Velella Velella, the by-the-wind sailor. And they've got a little sail on them, and they actually float right on the surface. And if the wind is just wrong for them, it'll push them up on the beach literally by the thousands. We'll typically see those guys come up in the late summer and the fall, and then it's not abnormal to see our more common jellies come up on the beach as well, like the moon jellies and then also the sea nettles.
If their numbers appear higher than usual, Menard says that bloom, as they call it, can be attributed to a bountiful food supply.
The biggest variable is ocean productivity. They are predators, and so they're typically eating zooplankton, living plankton, which is generally the larvae of other animals. They're very active predators in that. So when we see good plankton production and water temperatures and currents and wind profiles are just right, we'll see excellent productivity, especially from the upwelling that we get here on the North Coast, where cold, nutrient-rich waters well up from the deeper parts of the ocean, and the jellies really explode as that habitat really gets full of food sources for them.
Of course, large numbers of jellies are good news for the larger creatures who also feed on them.
Sea turtles like to eat them. The mola mola ocean sunfish like to eat them. Some of our rockfish will eat small jellies, and then jellies feed off of one another as well.
There are about 8 varieties of jellies, they're not really fish at all, that thrive in the cooler waters off Northern California, where they have a fairly brief 1-year life cycle. Menard says the ones commonly found in these parts pose little hazard to humans.
Some of our jellies can sting you, but they're not terribly poisonous. You know, they have a stinging cell called a nematocyst, and that's used to stun or immobilize their prey. So though their toxin is very powerful, the delivery mechanism is limited, and they have trouble getting through the thick skin of human beings and other large animals. So typically, if you touch them, you might get a small reaction, but if you were to get them in areas of your body where the skin is thinner, like around the face or inside the arms, then you might have a little more of a reaction.
All the same, he suggests avoiding them if you find one on the beach, adding that there's not much to be gained in attempting to return a beached jelly to the ocean waters.
They're best left alone. You cannot really save them. And so the idea of picking them up and getting them to a bucket and trying to put them back in the ocean, that's generally not going to work. They're really not designed to absorb any mechanical damage, and they're typically not designed to come in contact with hard surfaces. So by the time they're on the beach, unfortunately, they're probably not going to have a chance to survive.
The most common locations where the jellyfish pile up on the sand tend to be beaches that face the open ocean, such as Duran, Dillon, and Salmon Creek. As for speculation that the higher numbers of the ancient sea creatures are an indicator that another El Nino is on the way, Menard says there are signs one is building down near the equator, but there's no way yet to tell if it might make its way this far north. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.